Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello, hello, hello there, Foo followers around the world. Welcome, welcome one and all to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host Ben Johnson. That is me, speaking to you from London. I do hope you are well, wherever you are listening to this. This is Season 6, Episode 77 of the show, and we have the wonderful Kenji Tanigaki on the show today. We had a great chat. It's been an amazing year for Kenji Tanigaki. Not only did he work on two more Rurouni Kenshin films, but he also helped out with the fight choreography on the most recent Donnie Yen action hit Raging Fire. And he also worked on Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins, where he trained the cast, and he also worked as fight choreographer and the second unit director. So it was a joy to chat to Kenji Tanigaki all about his amazing career. So that is coming up on today's show. But before we go into that, we do have a competition running. One lucky Foo follower has the opportunity to win a copy of the Karate Kid 4K Ultra HD collection. This includes the first three Karate Kid films, plus a whole heap of special features. It does look amazing, and it will be available to buy from the 6th of December, courtesy of Sony Pictures Home Entertainment here in the UK. In order to be in with a chance of winning a copy of the Karate Kid 4K Ultra HD collection, all you need to do is sign up to our monthly newsletter. You can do that by visiting our website, kungfumovieguide.com. Once you've signed up, you will receive the monthly newsletter. The next newsletter will be released on the 30th of November, and that is where you will find all the competition details. So become a registered Foo follower today to be in with a chance of winning that prize, and best of luck. Okay, one final bit of business. We are already looking ahead now to our annual end of year show featuring the life of action author Mike Fury. As always, we really appreciate your help in putting that one together. So if you do have any favourite fight films from 2021 that you want to tell us about, then please do get in touch with the show. We always like to hear from you guys, and we do include the comments of our listeners on that show. So we are starting a little bit earlier this year just to try and gather as much feedback as possible. So send over your thoughts to us via email. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. You can also message me over social media. We are on Twitter at KFMovieGuide. And we are also on Facebook and Instagram under the name at Kung Fu Movie Guide. And look, there is a high probability that the work of today's guests will be discussed on that show, because Kenji Tanigaki has been responsible for some of the best martial arts action ever captured on screen, in my opinion. You might think that's hyperbole, but if you do look back over the films that Kenji has been involved in since the mid-90s, it really is quite something. He has been Donnie Yen's close collaborator since the 1990s, and he's worked on pretty much all of his best fight films, from his directorial debut Legend of the Wolf to Blade 2, SPL, Flashpoint, Legend of the Fist, Bodyguards and Assassins, Dragon, The Lost Bladesman, Special ID, Big Brother, Enter the Fat Dragon, which Kenji actually also directed as well, and right up to Donnie's new one, Raging Fire. Raging Fire is out in selected cinemas across the UK right now, courtesy of Cine Asia, and it will be released on 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray here in the UK on the 31st of January. There is a very attractive looking two-disc steelbook release of Raging Fire, which is available now for pre-order. Head to zavvi.com, that's ZAVVI.com, for more details. And you can follow Cine Asia UK on all the social media platforms for news about that release. And if you want to read our Raging Fire review, I'll put a link to it in the description of the show, but you can also go to kungfumovieguide.com to read about Raging Fire. So this conversation with Kenji was recorded in mid-October of this year, 2021, and it was a real treat to chat to Kenji. I will be back at the end of this conversation to sign off properly, but until then, here we go then. Here is my conversation with the stunt coordinator, fight choreographer, action director, stunt performer, and all-round martial arts movie genius. It's Kenji Tanigaki. Well, first of all, I should wish you a happy birthday. So, did you have a good birthday? What did you get up to?
Actually, my birthday in Hong Kong, we have the typhoon. We have a typhoon.
Oh, of course.
You know, typhoon signal 8 is all the transportation stopped and all the stores closed. So I just edit the footage.
51, I believe. Is that right?
Actually, yes.
Wow. Yeah. But how do you feel in yourself, Kenji? You still, you know, I've seen behind the scenes footage of you. You're still on wires and throwing yourself around. So do you feel, you still feel good? You still feel fit?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, because, you know, our senior, like Yuwo Pan, and yep, like Don Yen, yeah, you know, Europeans age 76, and then he's still working so hard. So yeah, I just watching their work, and then I'm still young.
Yeah, well, Yen Wuping's still going, nearly 80 now, and still working really hard. So amazing. That's great.
Yeah, so I have a lot of amazing senior. Yeah. 51 is just baby.
Yeah. you've got decades to go yet. Yeah. So today were you looking at locations to film then today in Hong Kong?
Is that what you've been doing? Yeah, I just go back to my room. Yeah.
Can you say what project that is, Kenji, or is that top secret?
It's called Kowloon Walled City. Kowloon Walled City is very historical Hong Kong place, which is closed around 1993.
Yeah. Jackie Chan blew it up, didn't he, in his movie?
You know that. Yeah. Wow, you know everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so early 90s, yeah. Who's attached to that project then, Kenji? Can you say?
I just can say the director is Soi Chan. So Jane, okay. Good director.
You've lived in Hong Kong now for what, nearly 30 years? Does that sound about right?
Actually, now I'm living in Tokyo. I've not been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my residence is Tokyo. But of course, this year go to China and go to Hong Kong. I know a lot of stuntmen now is going to UK.
Interesting.
Yeah, actually, in this podcast, I cannot say too much, but I turned down some project which shot in UK now.
Really?
Yeah.
So UK, because a lot of the big movies and a lot of the Marvel stuff is filmed here. A lot of stuff is made here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you worked in the UK before then, Kenji?
Long time ago. It's around 1996. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah. They filmed some of that here, did they?
Yes, I lived in Kilburn Hill Road.
Yes.
And then Wales, and Livingston. And we shot in Livingston Studio.
Yeah. Interesting.
Leave Stain Studio.
Wasn't some of that filmed in Thailand as well? Have I got that right, or is that the, was that the first film?
The Mortal Kombat, which I joined, is Mortal Kombat Part 2.
Yeah.
And start a film in UK and go to Thailand. Go in to Thailand. Israel and go to Thailand. And UK part, we have Ray Park, legendary Ray Park, great. And Nicky Berwick. Nicky Berwick is very famous. Yes, I'm called Nicky now. And then, of course, J.J. Perry.
J.J. Perry worked on that, of course.
J.J. Perry. And after we went to Thailand, we met Tony Jaa.
That was one of his, you know, early stunt roles, wasn't it?
Yeah. So
did he, but apparently from what I've heard from JJ, he had something about him even then. Did you think he was going to be a big star?
I don't think so, but I know.
No.
He was only age 20. And then I know he's a very good stuntman. But you know, his character is very shy at that time, maybe even now. So I cannot imagine he will act.
Yeah.
You know? And then after several years, when they go back to Thailand to shoot the Hong Kong movie, it's called Goodbye, Mr. Cool. We have the same stunt coordinator. His name is Aseng, the same stunt. His name is Kawi Shirkanel in Thai. And then I asked him, because we cannot see Tony Jaa. Where's Jaa? He signed a contract to be the actor. To be the actor? Can he act? Yeah, he's rehearsing now. And then after this movie, I went back to Thailand again to shoot the Twins Effect.
Yeah.
Twins Effect is a Hong Kong movie. And then opening part, we shot it in Bangkok. And then I asked Sam, where's Jaa? Oh, now he's shooting his first movie. Wow, he really do the lead. And then next year, everything happened.
Huge.
Everybody told Tony Jaa,
changed the whole game, didn't he, with On Bak?
He was a game changer, On Bak.
Then
after this, everybody knows his history.
You've worked with Jackie Chan, you've worked with Sammo, Donnie, Jet Li, you've worked with so many people.
But many people I want to work with still, like Sylvester Stallone, and of course UK, Scott Adkins, right?
Yes. So, you and Scott, that would be amazing.
Actually, John Wick 4, I missed a chance to join the John Wick 4 because at that time, director Chad, he asked me, and then I have another project at that time, and I introduced my guys to go there. So now they are working for him. So I missed a chance. Yeah, but maybe next time. Yeah.
Yeah. John Wick 5, then maybe.
Maybe, I hope so, yeah.
2021 has been a huge year for you. I know with COVID, so many films came out this year.
They
all sort of came together at the same time. But you had Raging Fire in Hong Kong, Snake Eyes in the USA, and the Rurouni Kenshin, two of those movies that came out this year as well.
Just coincidentally. Come together.
I'll start with Raging Fire, if I may. You must be really happy with the success of that film. It's been a huge hit, hasn't it?
Yes, in China, Asia, it's a very big hit. But to be fair, I just joined a little bit because action director is Donnie Yen and stunt coordinator is D.D. Koo. At that time, I was shooting Ron Kenshin, and then I have no time to help Donnie. So, but anyway, he asked me a lot of times, many times. And then when will you be free? When will you have the time? Now I'm shooting Ron Kenshin. When you will be finished? So, I think June, oh, you come to Hong Kong July. You come to Hong Kong on June. Yeah. And then I go to Hong Kong and to shoot mainly I shoot the ending scene.
That's the big fight scene at the end between Donnie, yeah, and Nicholas Say.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic fight scene. So, you know, really good, really good work on that.
Thank you.
That was, of course, Benny Chan's final film.
Yes.
Sadly passed away. What are your memories of Benny? Because I know he was quite ill, but he was still on set.
Yeah, he was taking care of everything, even the action and even the drama. And then there were a good chemistry between Donnie and Benny, because Donnie and Benny before 25 years ago they worked together on the TV series. And then that's the first time to me to work with Donnie. Yeah. So that's a very memorable. And then after 24 years, and then they work together again. So that's very good chemistry. And then I was very happy to help them a little bit. Yeah. And then we made some choreograph and shoot some test fight to them. And then they had some suggestion, and then I changed it a little bit, and we made adjust. That process is very, I feel very happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And very great moment, I think.
Yeah.
I think my career can cross over with Benny Chan a little bit. It's very, I'm already so proud.
You think he's one of the best directors, Hong Kong directors? He did so many great films.
Yeah, he can represent a so-called Hong Kong action.
Yeah.
Of course, Hong Kong action has a lot of different kind, but, you know, Hong Kong modern action film, he can one of the best, I think.
Yeah. How do you still come up with new ideas? Like, how do you keep it fresh and exciting? Because you've worked with Donnie Yen on 17 films.
Oh, really? I don't know that. Wow.
I mean, it may be more. I mean, I may not be counting the... Actually, it may be more because of the Fist of Fury TV show, so maybe it's 18. But how do you keep it fresh?
It's all coming from Donnie, because Donnie doesn't want to do the same thing as before. He just continued to make something new. Every time he gave me a different theme. So, of course, he gives some hint to me. And then director Benny Chan, gives some idea to me. So I just mix up. And then we just made a lot of trial and error with our guys. And then shoot something. And then present to them, and then they gave me some new idea.
And did they give you a brief then to say we want this action to be really, you know, hard hitting and tough? Because that final fight scene is really, you know, they're really going at it. So that was the brief then, was it to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we know before they went into the church, they have a lot of explosion and gunfight and car chase, car crash and bike chase. So it's very hard to, because if we continue to this very big explosion, gun and car, and then go to the church, if we follow this kind of situation, of course the atmosphere is going down, because one guy fight with one guy, right? Without the gunfight, without the explosion. So we must go into another situation and another atmosphere. So it must be very dramatic.
Yeah.
You know? So we made some action and we made choreograph. But the main point is two actors. Really, not only fight, but also they made some dramatic.
Yeah.
Two guys fight. So I think we make success to catch their moment.
And your relationship with Donnie, I mean, how has that changed quite a bit over the years? Because, you know, he clearly he trusts you, you know, a lot. It sounds like, you know, he's calling you up on most of his films for, you know, advice or to help out with the choreo. So how has that relationship developed over the years, do you think?
I think, he's my master. Right.
Yeah.
My 90% of my knowledge, film knowledge, is coming from his, you know, the experience with him. So yeah. I think, we can be sometimes friend and sometimes his master and student. Well, you know, and then his boss and his. I'm just one of his guy. Yeah. But I think the most important thing is what he's thinking, and what I'm thinking is getting closer and closer. Sometimes YouTube, some footage, what Donnie Yen movie and what Ryo Kenshin, Kenji shot is very similar. It's like I'm copying him. And then sometimes he joking me, oh, you are stealing from my movie. No, because I'm your student. So
yeah,
if I shooting some action and then if no any Donnie Yen taste is very failure. So you must be proud what I'm shooting looks like your movie. So yeah. I think so our visualization is very same. Similar.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the location and on the set, he got the new feeling. And then he changed something. Sometimes he changed everything. But
right.
This kind of feeling, I can trust his feeling. Because sometimes he changed something, he changed everything. And then other people freaking out, wow, change everything. But more or less, I can understand why he changed.
Yeah.
And then later on, people can understand why he changed after whole product coming out.
The Rurouni Kenshin films, you're the action director on those on those films. So that's very much your creative vision. Talk to me about those movies. There's five of them now. It's based on a manga, isn't it? That's very popular in Japan. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a very distinctive style for the Rurouni Kenshin films. It's wonderful. It's so kinetic. There's wire gags, but it's subtly done. How did you come up with that idea for the action?
I don't know, but when I start that project, part one, I just finished to shoot the Crash Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Crash Point, their distance is very close, and close combat. We try to, some kind of MMA taste or some cross combat. So when I start to prepare the Ron Kenshin, I just want to do the sword fight, samurai sword fight with this distance. So close combat. Because sometimes our traditional way in Japan, we use a wooden sword made from wood, and then they keep the distance. And then, like this.
Yeah.
So I think after the first point, I think it's very fake. It doesn't look like that. That it shouldn't be like that.
If I was to say, you know, what's Kenji Tanigaki's style? You are someone who really goes for realism, I would say. Would you agree with that? The more realistic, the better?
I think, of course, it depends on the what kind of genre. From manga, yeah. I can exaggerate a little bit, but more or less, Donnie, because I'm from Donnie's team. So what we shop, it would be go to more realistic, not go to fantasy. And then if go to fantasy, everybody fly around. I cannot compete with a Hong Kong action director. So I just go down to the earth. Yeah. You know? So I don't go to jump. So that's the difference, I think.
And Kenshin's very low to the ground, isn't he? Is there similarities to the way that Kenshin moves in the manga? I've not read the manga, so I don't know.
Actually not from manga. Castle of Cagliostro. That movie is Hayao Miyazaki's first directorial movie. And then one shot is a car chase, and second car for the shortcut. They go up to the hill and go down to chase the car. So this kind of movement, suddenly I'm just thinking about, oh, maybe the human do this kind of thing. It looks good. And then I think about, oh yeah, actually the baseball got the first base and second base looks like right. So I think if we do this kind of very nature things which human will do happen in samurai film, is I think I thought it looks special. If modern film, maybe it's good. Yeah. But summary film, it looks more special, I think.
You take inspiration not just from watching other movies, you take inspiration from other sports, just things you see in everyday life?
I think many filmmakers, of course, action director or scriptwriter, everybody takes some inspiration from their another life, like watching news and watching something. It helps us, I think.
What's it like working in Japan compared to Hong Kong? Do you have a lot of time in Japan?
No,
more freedom?
Worse than Hong Kong.
Worse.
Especially my set, because I moved Hong Kong style to Japan. So it's the same. You know, for example, Rowan Kenshin is a final chapter. The final. Yeah. The ending scene, fight between Kenshin and Enishi is a Makenyu. He's the son of Sanichiba. Two guys fight. Including the drama scene, just 5 shooting days.
Wow. Gosh.
Five shooting days. I think maybe people don't understand 5 shooting days. What does fighting 5 shooting days mean? I think in Hong Kong, we need whole months. For example, in Flashpoint, ending fight started
with Colin Chu.
Yeah. We shot back and forth 2 months.
Wow. Yeah.
One day, the maximum 4 shot. 4 shot in maximum in 1 day. And sometimes no, 0 shot. And then tomorrow we do again.
People don't realize that, and they'll compare films, martial arts films, with each other. And you wonder why one film, the action looks so amazing compared to another film.
Yeah.
People don't realize, you know, the time spent on
that's
you
why
need to I spend the time.
Yeah, that's why I cannot excuse. Oh, you know, this movie, Rowan Kenshin, we just have the 5 shooting days. I cannot excuse to go to every theater. So sorry, because no time, I cannot excuse. And then, you know, sometimes this leading actor, Takeru Sato, he played Kenshin. He's just an actor, not the actual actor. He's just an actor. But I told him, you know,
you trained him.
Everybody knows you are just actor, not actual actor. But maybe go to the Western world, maybe go to America, go to UK, maybe in their DVD shop, or Netflix is a genre, action movie. And then Jackie Chan, Donnie Yen, and Takeru Sato. So we cannot make any excuse. People treat you like action, one of the action star.
And do you find most actors will put in the time and the effort to train with you to look good? By and large, they do? Yeah, yeah.
I think normally good actor and top actor, they know themselves. So yeah. It's very easy to adjust to be the action star. Because good actor, it's very easy to be the good action star.
I read somewhere, though, that you said that actors to action stars is good, that works, but the worst is getting a martial artist to be an action star. Be hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you agree? You agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah, because in Hong Kong, we said, don't shoot the animal and kid and martial artist.
Yeah. Right.
No, it's really depends on the people, but yeah. Normally their ego, I cannot lose, and I must win. Shooting action movies, attacking is very important, but do the reaction is more important, right? And like fighter, MMA fighter, they are very good fighter, but they are not training for the reaction, right?
Yeah.
So maybe pro wrestler, WWE, this kind of wrestler, makes some sense, I think.
Is that one-eyed bastard here? Who the hell are you? You dare call our boss that?
So how did you find training Henry Golding and Andrew Koji? I know Andrew's done martial arts training before for the Warrior Show. Samara Weaving. I mean, these people aren't, they're not martial artists or even action stars, particularly Henry Golding. So how was that process? Was that okay? Yeah. Was it hard work?
Actually not. They are not martial artists, but they have charisma. They have their charm, I think.
Yeah.
Henry Golding, he's not the martial artist, but from day one, he can move. He can move. Of course, we must adjust how to bring katana or how to kick, because some flexibility is not easy, right? But once he knows the rhythm and once he knows what we need, he's very fast.
He picked it up. Well, it didn't look like he was being doubled too much. I may be wrong with that, Kenji, but it looked like he was doing a lot of the action himself.
Yes, of course, stunt double, but most of the action he did by himself.
Just talking about Snake Eyes, I mean, it's a huge, big budget Hollywood movie. What was your experience like working in that environment? Quite a step change, I would imagine.
But I think, the point is why they hired me, because for Snake Eyes, because of Ron Kenshin, right? And then some people from 8711, like Chad Starsky or Jojo, Jonathan Eusebio, they talk about me. And then a production hire me. So what important is, because they are watching Ron Kenshin or the movie which I joined, what I must do is I do the same thing when I approach to that kind of movie. So I didn't do nothing special. Just the same as usual.
A lot was made afterwards, Kenji, about the way that film was edited, particularly the action scenes.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get your view on that, because I guess, you know, you put a lot of time into training actors so they can do the moves.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, you're at the mercy of the editor, really, aren't you? I suppose. What's your thoughts on that?
I really don't know, because on Rurouni Kenshin, Of course, I edited all the action scene, and then Snake Eyes, I also edited all the action scene, and then passed the editor and passed the director.
And Donnie Yen would do the same in Hong Kong, I suppose.
Yes. So. And then the most important thing is pass the editor, pass the director, and then they show me, and then maybe this is better, and then back and forth, pass through, catching the ball, right? Yeah. But Snake Eyes is just pass the director and pass the editor. So I think the point is, because if you ask me, do you really understand the Western flavor? Do you really understand the audience which will go into watch Snake Eyes? Actually, I don't know. I just made my version. And then if Japanese audience, Rurouni Kenshin, yeah, I understand. And then I must do this, right? But and Hong Kong is same. I can understand what Hong Kong audience needs. I can understand what Japanese audience needs. But at the end of the day, I'm not 100% understand the Western audience. What kind of, because in Snake Eyes, a lot of katana fights. And a lot of, hand fights by Iko Uwais, right?
Wonderful.
But maybe you think wonderful, but I really don't know. Maybe some audience think, oh, it's too oriental. It's too fast to recognize. So I just trust their director, producer, editor's choice.
Yeah. Maybe they were thinking, we want a young crowd to watch this film. So they needed to take those decisions with the action. So just to maybe make it less, lower the intensity of it, maybe. I don't know, Kenji, that might have been.
I don't know, but it's very good experience. And then maybe next movie, next Hollywood movie, next American movie. I hope I can understand more.
Hollywood now has adapted the Hong Kong style. And if you look at what 8711 do with, John Wick and Atomic Blonde and Nobody as well was fantastic. It is that Hong Kong style, that Jackie and Sammo were doing. That's where it sort of stems from.
Yeah.
Do you think Hollywood now actually is producing some pretty good martial arts action film? Shang-Chi as well. Shang-Chi was very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. And then they know how to use us, how to hire us. Yeah. Because, maybe 30 years ago, the era of China O'Brien, this kind of era, maybe they thought, we hired a Hong Kong stuntman, and we can make something like Hong Kong movie. And then they start to understand at the era of Matrix, we should hire the choreographer. Yeah. We should hire the choreographer, and then we can make some Hong Kong movie taste.
Yeah.
Right? And then now, like Blood Allen, great guy. We need let this guy to shoot the previous, and then we can make something like something great action movie. So I think it's very step by step. And then of course, like 8711 guys, they've worked with Yuen Pan, and then they understand, we need a team. We need a team because before American Stuntman is very individually, and they get together for one movie and then go separate. But 87 years, they team up, and then they made their brand. Of course, they have some Hong Kong taste, but they also keeping up their very good taste and their taste, which American movie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They say you're tough, so I think I'll find out just how tough you are.
Well, I'll tell you this. You'll regret it, because it's the last thing you'll do.
We'll see!
You grew up watching Jackie Chan films as a child. Was that the impetus that spurred you on to learn the martial arts then was through the movies initially?
Yes. In my childhood, I think 90% of the kids want to be the Jackie Chan.
And this is in the 70s.
Yes, and enjoyed his movie. Jackie Chan is my idol.
Yeah.
Was my idol and is my idol.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
You have worked with Jackie Chan, we should say. Twins Effect, Shinjuku Incident. Did you work on Shinjuku Incident?
Yes. But you know, not our relationship is not like me and Donnie. Jackie Chan is Like, you know, I
get a bit starstruck.
You know, actually, his experience, what can I say? What can I tell him? It's just, just follow you.
So people were into Jackie Chan and doing the martial arts. Was that a route that was quite easy for you to get into when you were growing up in Japan or not so much?
At that era, every kid is like this.
Yeah.
I'm from Nara and near Osaka, but I'm growing up in Tokyo. And Tokyo, Osaka, everywhere. Many Jackie Chan kids. Like 70s, our era is Jackie Chan. And former era was Bruce Lee.
But Yasuaki Kurata.
Yeah, my master.
He is your sensei to this day, is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still, I'm still afraid.
Afraid,
yeah.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he's age 74 and still
great.
Stronger than me.
But Kurata, when you were growing up, would have been a big movie star in Japan and in Hong Kong as well. He was making movies with Sonny Chiba, you know, all those years ago as well. So, but you studied with him. You trained in his school.
Yes, in his school, our school in Tokyo and in Osaka, where we have the school. And I'm trained in Osaka. That's a stunt school, kind of stunt school. So in that curriculum, we learn basic karate, aikido, judo, and gymnastic, and some sport technique. And the most important thing is reaction, movie reaction, bang, you know, some hardcore spin, these kind of things. So it's very useful after I moved to Hong Kong.
So you were in Tokyo and you were training to be a stunt performer.
Mm.
But what was the work you were getting like in Japan? Was it because they just weren't making many action films in Japan at the time?
In late 80s and 90s in Japan, I think no action movie. And then anyway, at the end of the day, I think our because I love Hong Kong movie. I love Jackie Chan movie, and I love start to love Hong Kong movie, and I start to love whole the movie, every movie. So Hong Kong is one of my, you know, the birthplace of the action movie. Why many Japanese baseball player wanna go to the major league? Because because that's the birthplace of major league. What the baseball, and why many soccer player, football player go to UK or Manchester? Because they are dreaming. Oh, Manchester is good. You know, go to UK, go to Italy. Why? Because their birthplace, or their, you know, that main place. So, if people think, oh, you went to Hong Kong to be a stuntman by yourself, or are you crazy? But I think it's the same. Baseball player want to go to the States, and you know, football player want to go to UK and Italy, and stuntman want to go to Hong Kong. It's very natural things.
Abbott, you better give up.
Did you find it quite hard when you got to Hong Kong with the culture and the language and trying to find work? Yes. Was that difficult?
Yeah, because I'm totally different from Kurata-sensei, because Shaw Brothers need him, recruit, hire him to come to Hong Kong. Nobody hired me, and I just went to Hong Kong by myself. And then, you know, Yellow Pages and call the movie production, and then I start from to be the extra actor. And then director asked me, "Oh, are you from Japan? Are you Japanese? Can you move? Oh, you can move. Oh, yeah, give me the home number." And then some action director, Japanese boy, coming. Can you do this? Can you do this? Oh, you can do it. Oh, give me the phone number. And then one action director, his name is Dong Wai, in the Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee snap his head.
Oh, Dong Wai, Stephen Dong Wai.
Stephen Dong Wai asked me to join the Hong Kong Stuntman Association. That's the whole thing. And then I started to be the stuntman and assistant stunt coordinator, and then not till now. So it's very simple. It's a very simple way.
You were the first, I think this is right, the first Japanese person to become a member of the Hong Kong Stuntmen Association. Is that correct?
Yes. Because of Mr. Stephen Dong Wai. He
got you into the team. Did you experience any prejudice or anything for being Japanese and working in Hong Kong movies?
Personally, not so much.
That's good. Because I always think, when you think back to a lot of the old Kung Fu films, especially the ones set during the war, the Japanese are they're the bad guys, you know, in a lot of those movies. So, I just wondered. But I'm glad you had a good experience there as a stunt
for me. Because in Hong Kong, they know a lot of things about Japan. And they are thinking very familiar.
A big title in your filmography early on is Fist of Legends. Jet Li.
Oh, yeah, Fist of Legend, yes.
You're involved in the the big melee scene where he goes into the dojo and just kicks everyone's butt. You're in there, aren't you? I think you're the first person he sort of throws to the ground. Is that right, Kenji?
Yes.
Jet Li, of course, is wonderful in that film, but Yen Wu Ping as well, and working with Yen Wu Ping.
Yes.
Was that what was that? Did you learn a lot from working with him?
I think so, because it's 1994, and I wanted to be the good stuntman.
Yeah.
But after watching how he work, how Yen Wu Ping work, and then how action crew, stunt crew work. Wow, that's good. I think this experience let me start to think, oh, I want to be the good stunt coordinator. I want to be a good action director, because behind the camera is more interested than in front of the camera. In dojo scene, they shot for 2 weeks. So every day just watching. And then one day, director asked me, oh, you do this part. And then, you know, in Hong Kong style, no script, just one paper, one sheet of paper. And, yeah. Oh, yeah, you say that. And then, Jet Li slapped me. Yeah. So that's, wow. Great moment, I think.
Getting hit by Jet Li. Did you get injured much when you were a stunt performer? I know that you've spoken in the past about injuries on Hong Kong film sets. I think later in your career you did see people getting taken to hospital and that sort of stuff. So were you ever injured, Kenji?
Yes. My biggest injury, as you know, the big stunt doesn't no injury because everybody take care, everybody concentrate. So yeah. Big stunt doesn't mean anything. But small stunt. Actually, my biggest injury is not shooting Hong Kong movie. It's a German TV series. The name is Da Puba. We shot that TV series in Berlin with Donnie. And then one shot, I wear the hockey mask, like Jason, you know, and then use the hockey stick to attack the lead, and then one reaction, I must do the back fall. And the first take is very low, and then Donnie said, "Wow, very low." Yeah, what are you doing? And then I told Donnie, hey, I show you my highest high fall in my stuntman life. And then second take, I go to the over rotation.
Yeah. Oh, and dear. Landed on your head.
Yeah, on the head. And then I lost a memory and when I noticed, I'm already in hospital. And then the nurse asked me, told me, oh, your bone is broken. I hit the head and my foot was broken. What? I don't know why. And then I rewatched the footage. I over rotation and then head and my toe is go to the ground. And then that action scene is my shoes is slipped off because the lead through the rope and ropes is wrapping around my shoes and the shoes is slipped off. And then I do this reaction. So I did the reaction with barefoot. Right. So that's why my head was bleeding and my toe is broken. Just one day, stay in the hospital, and next day I did a stunt.
You did a stunt the next day, okay.
Yes.
You knew pretty early on, you know, a stuntman's life isn't for me. I want to move back. Why was that then? You just had a vision for how you wanted the action to look on film?
Why I want to be the stunt coordinator, because number one, I'm short. So
okay.
if I'm very tall, I will be a lot of actors stunt double. Yeah. Right? But I do a lot of henchmen, Andy stunts, you know.
Yeah.
That's very boring to me. And then I'm watching a lot of Jackie Chan movie and a lot of behind the shot, and then I'm watching. I know they are directing. Actually, how they directing Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, like Choi Hak, other guys, is how they direct is more. I think it looks like cooler than how they act. Yeah. So wow, that looks cool.
You had to learn Cantonese pretty quickly, didn't you, to step into that role if you're directing and coming up with the action scenes.
Yes.
But you did learn Cantonese quite quickly, is that right?
Yeah, because for surviving.
Of course.
Because for survival. So I must know speak Cantonese.
Yeah. And
luckily, we have many other tools to express what I want to shoot. For example, previous. For example, storyboard. For example, other things. So I can put these kind of things to make the people understand. For example, in Japan, I don't write down the, you know, storyboard or previous. I just write down the shot list. Shot one, this kind of shot two.
Yeah,
in Japan, because of my Japanese skill, it's enough. But in China, in Hong Kong, even in Hong Kong, and maybe in America, Canada, I must make some previous.
So you're the one.
You meet Donnie Yen on the Fist of Fury TV show. So that's mid-90s.
Yeah, 1995.
Yeah. Now, do you remember first, you know, chatting with him and getting to know him? You became good friends as well quite quickly.
Actually, friend means friend, right?
But
of course, I respect him. And then I know he kind of appreciate me. He loves to hire me after Fist of Fury, maybe second day two, I did some stunt. And then he remembered that stunt. And then after this, he asked his assistant to hire me every time. Yeah. And after this TV series, he made his company to direct his first movie. And that movie doesn't have any budget. So people and less and less. And the end of the day, no stunt people around him. And then I still, in editing room, I still with him. And then sometimes, you know, I made some coffee or make some, you know, clean up the film. Because no money, his company doesn't have any money and nobody follow him. So I can only the people can follow him and learn something from him. And then, of course, now we have the Final Cut, A-Bit, many, you know, editing too. But at that generation, you know, late 90s, we can make the use of film, and then we can have the experience to cut the film. That's very precious, precious moment, I think.
You followed Donnie into Hollywood in the early 2000s, Blade 2, big movie. Going from Hong Kong and then working on a big movie like that, that must have been quite a shift, I would imagine. It must have been quite a
Hong Kong movie itself is very, you know, very something's very trendy. After Ballistic Kiss, he's very disappointed at their result. At that time, some producer called him to the project, which Highlander the Endgame.
Yes.
And then of course at the same time, after the Highlander, we went to Germany to shoot that TV series, and then he moved back to the States, LA, and then he continued to shoot Blade 2 and Shanghai Night.
With Jackie.
Yeah, but after this, a Hong Kong production company hire him for, you know, maybe better deal, I think. So after the effect, and SPL is of 2004, right?
So SPL and Flashpoint, SPL also known as Killzone.
Yes.
I remember getting that film on a DVD, on a Chinese DVD when it came out. Probably not an official one, to be honest, Kenji, through the through whatever means. But I remember seeing SPL for the first time and really thinking, gosh, this is something new and really quite quite exciting here. And then Flashpoint again took it even further, you know, with showing really full contact, what seems like full contact. I know MMA was popular at the time, but I don't think I'd seen it represented in a martial arts film like that before. I'm just curious, was that a collective decision? Donnie, yourself, the team, you all sat down and said, we want to really push MMA and try and come up with a new style of fight choreography almost for these films. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes, I think so. But 1997 is already, he is very interested in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
He's very interested in. But our experiment is very, we thought it's very hard to visualize how is Jiu-Jitsu, how Jiu-Jitsu is, how MMA is, because our knowledge is not enough at the time, right? Yeah. I don't know if you remember the end fight of Twins Effect.
Yeah.
We made some movement, some jiu-jitsu movement, some grappling.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, it looks special. Because just punch and kick and somersault and then some ground stuff.
Yeah.
Some basic element to shooting an action movie, maybe kicking and punching. And now it's grappling and, ground fight.
That style that you were promoting in SPL and Flashpoint, you see that in a lot of modern films.
So I think after the Twins Effect, he has more confidence to do this, to approach these kind of things.
Yeah.
And then SPL is, I think, after 6 years after Ballistic Kiss, he has a chance to be the lead.
Mm.
And then what makes difference, of course, are his trademark, kick and punching, and then some ground technique.
Yeah.
And then we try to do the choreographed, the unchoreographed.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because I guess the root of that is you can see it in the Wu Jing fight.
Yes.
Particularly, I remember seeing that and thinking, because it almost looks like it's not choreographed. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know whether parts of that fight scene were just made up on the spot, you know, quite spontaneous. It feels like both Donnie and Wu Jing are both very much reacting to each other.
Yes.
And it's such a clever way of doing a fight scene, you know?
Yeah.
But obviously that was deliberate then, was it, Kenji?
Yes. Many people is thinking, oh, that's ad-lib. That is like not staged.
Yeah.
Not choreographed. But if you rewatch, actually choreographed.
It is.
But what they express is more street fight.
Yeah.
Like real fight. Actually, that scene is additional shooting. Because we finished the fight with Summer Home first. After we decide to shoot additional shooting, Donnie we need the fight with Wu Jin. But he said, oh, but we don't need any wire. We don't need any stunt double. We don't need anything. Just one street and nothing. And two guys fight. He said, back to the basic.
Yeah.
Back to the basic. And because he knows the fight with Sammo Hung is already entertainment-wise, is enough.
Yeah.
So before that fight, he knew what it needs.
Yeah.
So after that fight, I remember the director Lee Sung Ip asked him, "Hey, you don't have any kick in that scene." Yeah, you watch, you know. Yeah. He didn't put any kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is okay for you? And then Tony said, it's just good. Just if we kick, or if we somersault, or if we use a wire to push the wall and do the somersault, it's too much. If people ask me what's the best fight, for example, the end fight of the Drunken Master 2, because a lot of element, stunt, fire, and some gimmick, and some fight. But that's a maximum element. If I choose minimum element, that's SPL. Minimum element is no wire, no stunt double, just two guys, and just one stick and knife, and nothing else.
Simple is best sometimes, isn't it?
Back to the basic.
Yeah.
At that time, he always said, back to the basic.
You bastard! You just keep your nose out of this!
Right now, it's my business.
Oh, is that so? Then I'll kill you!
You have stepped in and directed feature films as well, quite a few now. Mm. Is that something that you would like to pursue? Do you see yourself directing more?
Yes. But
yeah,
directing is very hard to me, because if I do the action director or, you know, second unit director, I just can concentrate the action scenes.
Yeah.
But director must take care of everything. So sometimes, my job, action director, 99% just action directing. But directing, and of course, action directing, that's percentage, maybe 30%. But
yeah,
people doesn't care about this. Because, you know, if my quality, when I do the director, the quality of the action scenes is down to the 30%. People doesn't take care. Oh, this movie action is very, very bad. I think as director, sometimes drama, some a little bit off, people will forgive me. But action is no good. People wouldn't forgive me, right?
You've set quite a high standard, though, over your career, Kenji. This is the issue, and particularly through your work with Donnie. You know, there's some really amazing, some of the best martial arts films of modern times. You know, so that's a lot of. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure, isn't it, I guess? Do you feel that pressure with every new film you work on? Oh, you've got to go better than the one before?
Now I think no pressure. Of course, when we shoot more or less, I have a pressure. But
yeah,
after we complete Rurouni Kenshin, the final chapter, I have no pressure now. Because
yeah.
Pressure was that as I said before, the time pressure it equals, nearly equals money pressure, right? So
yeah.
but under that pressure, we can complete the Rurouni Kenshin, and then result is not bad.
At
least actually it's not bad. So I think that's the, to me, is a big confidence. And then
yeah.
I just feel free to shoot something. Maybe people from America hire me. Oh, I just go there. People from Africa hire me. Oh, I want to go there. I just try to do something different. Not the better and better and better. Not something different. Last week, my stunt coordinator's friend asked me to go to Africa to shoot something. Yeah, it's same as usual. Stunt world is getting smaller and smaller and closer and closer.
With the internet and all the different streaming services, I guess the actual local market, it doesn't matter so much because people at the moment on Netflix are going mad about Squid Game, which is a Korean TV show, and then they can flick over to the latest, you know, Hollywood action film. Yes. It seems like it doesn't matter where the content's coming from anymore. Do you agree with that?
Nowadays, these 2 decades, what kind of action film became trend? It's the movie which is more domestic. It's like on back. On back is their action is not Americanized. Very, because they emphasize the Muay Thai action, you know, and the raid is a silat, more domestic. Yeah. And then maybe Ron Kenshin is more domestic, is samurai fight.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the most important is because I'm not American. And I'm not understand. I'm not fully understand their taste. So don't tell a lie by myself. Just be the domestic, and then just emphasize, for example, samurai action or Asian action, because people wanna watch something different. So that's why I'm just try to be myself.
I've killed many men with this pole, but still, I don't want to kill you yet.
Before I let you go, I've got to just ask you about Sonny Chiba. We lost Sonny Chiba in August of this year. Very, very sad. But I know, obviously, you directed Sonny Chiba. So that's on the film Legend of Seven Monks, which you directed also with Kureta. So uniting those two amazing Japanese martial arts film stars. I don't think they'd worked together for a very long time before that. So, can you share any memories of working with Sonny Chiba?
Wow, Sonny Chiba, wow. He was a great guy. And then I'm so proud of work with him. He was age 67, when we shoot that movie. I showed some movement, like rolling on the ground. Oh, next movement is like this. And then Sonny Chiba said, oh, you are so slow. I'm faster than you. Yeah, do you compete with me? No. Yeah, I know you are so fast. So I think his energy at age 67 is very, very good. And then he really did the Hong Kong spin.
Wow.
At age 67. And then, put the trampoline. I need the trampoline to do the free. Oh, so it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And his son is more amazing. He's a gift. He has a gift from his father.
Yeah.
So I'm so lucky to work with their, you know, father and son.
Would you have thought when you were young growing up in Japan that you would eventually, you know, work with these legends, you know, of Japanese cinema?
Maybe you tell me like that, I can feel, they are legend. But when we shoot, just you know, everything, every day, just shoot, no time, and you know,
you don't get to enjoy it.
Yes, of course, I enjoy it, but at the same time, I must solve a lot of problem every day. So now you tell me, it's, you know, I can very feel, cool. I can feel better.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me tonight. I can't wait to see what you're working on next, because I know it's going to be amazing. Did you say then you could have worked on John Wick 4, but you are in touch with the 8711 guys, obviously off the back of Snake Eyes, so potentially, you know, maybe some work there in the future, maybe?
I think so, because we are growing up in different country. Like Snake Eyes, stunt coordinator Kimani Ray Smith or Brett Chan, everybody like my age. And then they are growing up, we are growing up in other country. But our experience, we spent the same era, we spent the same generation. And then how action movie changed. We know how action movie changed, how, you know, American action movies getting changed, and I believe it's better, getting better and better. And then now, like Chad said, 90s, a lot of MTV director to become the director. And then a lot of DP, the director of photography, to be the director. And then now, action director or secondary director should be the director. Believe it or not, action movie, the trailer, the half of the action movie's trailer, the shot is shot by the secondary director, shot by the action director, right?
And then,
and that product is, of course, director is will be the best leader, but our stunt crew, the stunt department is not that small, I think, nowadays.
Yeah. Kenji, thank you so much for your time. All the best. And have a good evening and enjoy the rest of your shoot.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
There we go. Kenji Tanigaki there. Such a treat to talk to Kenji. It was very late in Hong Kong when we recorded that, and we did talk for quite a long time. He was so accommodating and gracious with his time, so thank you so much, Kenji. Really enjoyed that conversation. A few points to pick up on following that chat. That film that Kenji is currently working on in Hong Kong is called Kowloon Walled City, and it stars Max Chang, Louis Koo, and Richie Jen. It's directed by Soi Chiang, who made SPL2, and it's based on a cult manga series called City of Darkness. I will be sure to put a link to more information on that movie in the description of this podcast. I love the fact that Kenji was inspired by Hayao Miyazaki in the way that Kenshin moves in the Rurouni Kenshin films. That was a nice little detail. The specific car chase scene that Kenji mentioned is from Miyazaki's first film, The Castle of Cagliostro, from 1979. And I have found the scene on Vimeo, so I'll be sure to add a link to the description of this podcast. When you do see that clip, you will understand a little bit better why Kenshin runs and jumps around the way that he does in those movies. All 5 Rurouni Kenshin films are available now on Netflix, and they are good fun. They're worth a look. You can go to kungfumovieguide.com to read our reviews of the Rurouni Kenshin films. As I say, I didn't know the manga that they are based on, but I did enjoy the films. For all the latest Kenji Tanigaki news, you can follow him on Instagram. His name on that platform is simply Kenji Tanigaki. That's all one word. And that is about it for today. Thank you all so much for checking out the show. Remember, do head over to the website kungfumovieguide.com for all the latest film reviews, plus ways to contact the show, sign up to our newsletter, and donate to this podcast. The next episode will indeed be our end of year show with Mike Fury, so I do hope you can join us then. It's usually a good laugh, and I actually can't wait to find out what Mike's top 5 fight films of the year will be. It has been such a huge year for martial arts movies, so we will do our best to break it all down for you guys. Until then, stay safe, stay well, take care.
and I will speak to you all again very soon on the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.